this last weekend, Brent and Mary and his family and us and our family had an opportunity to go up to Cragen's, to the resort up there. Not this weekend. Actually, it was Monday and Tuesday, but it seemed like a weekend to us. We had an opportunity to take both our families there, and it was for free. It was just so special. It was a real blessing. It was kind of like a little mini vacation for all of us. But I don't remember who it was that set it up for us, but Karen?
Tom Jolly,
yeah, he set it up for us just to kind of view the area and spend some time there and see if this is where we want to spend our time at our couples conference in April. And so we got to just spend time there and taste their meals and kind of check things out, and it was a lot of fun, and it was kind of special, I think, for both our families to get together because we don't have a lot of time together. And kids got to go ice skating, and the guys got to play tennis and indoor miniature golfing and just little odds and ends. Mary and I tried our hardest to get a lot of time together, which we don't really get a lot of time. It was real special because it just seemed like we had more time in 2 days to spend with one another than we have in a long time. And it was a real blessing because we found out that this year it seems like we've both had some major adjustments more this year than we can ever remember in a long time, and come to find out they're real similar, real a lot in common. So, not only was it fun, but it's real comforting for one another to share these struggles and different things we were going through. One of them, of course, is having a baby at being a little older this time. Having one at 33 is a lot different than having one at 23. And same with Mary, too. So it was a lot of fun. It was comforting at the same time. But, too, we just had a chance to even talk with each other and, you know, talk about this time that we're going to be spending with you all. And I really don't know how long. I didn't even really know until I got there that this is something that they have been thinking about, getting together with the different women and just separately and spending time together. We've done this in the past. There's quite a few of you that are kind of new here that haven't had an opportunity just to spend with us wives alone together. But I know that when we met together in the past, we had a lot of fun together. And we were able to cover, I think, some topics that it's not as easy to cover when we're all together with men and women together. So it's kind of special to do a little of both, and so I'm kind of looking forward to this time again. And I'm really not sure how long we're going to try to shoot for a meeting together. Maybe, like Bryn said, as long as we can cover some topics that we wouldn't normally want to cover with all of us together. And it might just be a couple months, and then we'll be back together. So, but this is kind of why we're together tonight, to kind of talk about ideas that we really want to cover. And basically, there's a couple options that we can try to take. One might be that we could maybe not meet in this room. And for this one option, the reason why is if we wanted to kind of get together in a group and just have it be a question and answer time over different topics, different ideas and questions that you might have concerning whatever, you know, pertaining to marriage life or whatever that, like I say, we wouldn't normally be able to cover as thoroughly together with both the husbands and wives. And so this is what I'm throwing out to you. Two options that we could maybe try to take a little hand showing. This isn't going to really say that we're going to do it this way, but just two options to go with. And the first one is, would you prefer to maybe get together in just a more informative setting and just throw out different questions and comments that people might have pertaining to family life? And we'll be writing up these ideas tonight so that we can have ahead of, beforehand to cover. Or would you rather appreciate just having maybe Mary and I at different times standing here and maybe just sharing on a particular topic for you all just to kind of sit and listen to? We've done a little bit of both. Or there's a possibility of maybe even combining, maybe having us stand up and share a little bit on a particular issue and then leaving it open for questions and answers. But one thing to keep in mind is we don't have a lot of time. And I know that as women, it seems like it's very easy to gab and go on and on and on. And when we had our women's or our wives' breakfast in the past, we had probably, a couple hours maybe? So we had quite a bit of time there, and we needed it because I think we could have even gone longer if we wanted. So with that in view, this time is usually more closer to 45 minutes, an hour at the longest. So keep that in mind if you want it to be something for Mary and I to maybe address an issue, and then questions and answers afterwards. It might be easy to want to go on and on, but we can't, especially knowing that it's on a school night versus a Saturday morning where we used to do it once a month together at a breakfast. So anyway, it might be a little confusing, but we're going to try to get a little general consensus of what you all would like to do. So I don't know, if just for now, if you have something in your mind that you would prefer, maybe start with one, the first option, if you'd like to meet in more of an informal setting, possibly in another room so that we're not all just looking down here, that we could, you know, sit in a circle or whatever and chit-chat. Or if you would prefer that idea right now, can you just raise your hand? Let's see. Okay. And then how about the idea of having maybe Mary and I, either or, maybe sometimes both, possibly stand up and maybe share on a particular topic and then leave it open for questions and answers afterwards. It looks like maybe a little bit more that way. Is there anybody undecided? Joan! Somebody has to be. Okay. Well, I'll let Mary know that, and maybe we can just go from here. Or it might very well be we might be able to do a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe one time we might be able to share on a particular topic and have a little bit of time for questions and answers. And then a whole other time it could just be completely different.
Yeah, maybe everybody's.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll leave that. And then we're going to kind of break down, and I'm going to try to give you at least 10 minutes to write down different questions that you really think you'd like to have discussed during this time, and feel free to take time for that because we want to kind of hear what's on your heart right now. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that for some of you that are new here, particularly in the last couple years, we've covered quite a few wonderful topics that some of you may already have questions for, but there might be a fantastic message on a tape that you could already get your fingertips a hold of. And I think that Brent is going to maybe come up with a flyer sometime real soon, just for the couples, for the Partners for Life, to let them know what have been some of the past messages, probably over the last couple years, that have already been shared, just so that you know some of the things. And also, too, for some of you that have already heard them, it's so easy sometimes you hear a wonderful message, and then you go home, and months later, you forget all about it, and it's so nice just to kind of be refreshed by it. And we do have a tape catalog already out, but when you look at it, there's so many things on it that your mind could just go, wow, where do I start? But we're going to try to just kind of narrow it down to some of the things that the couples would particularly be interested in for Partners for Life. So keep that in mind tonight for questions you have. And so, in fact, some of them we may not even cover for that very reason. Or two, we might discuss that some of them are just as fun and encouraging to go ahead and talk over again, or refreshing to talk over again, even if we have in the past. So we'll just go from there. Then one more thing I want to ask before we take time to write. There's another, I don't know how many are mothers here tonight of babies or young children, preschool age. Can you give me a hand here just so I know? About half, okay, because I know we have several couples that aren't here tonight. I have had a chance to visit with a few young moms concerning this, but I know there's just so many mothers here with babies or younger children, and so many of us go through so many new adjustments handling babies and younger children and problems, trials, whatever it is. And I know I am. And even in a new, fresh way with a new baby, I felt like in some ways I'm starting all over again. But I was thinking that if if some of you are really interested in this, one thing that we might be able to do possibly outside of Partners for Life, maybe just one Saturday a morning, possibly Jane and I have talked, maybe over at her party room, is just to have a real formal, or excuse me, informal get-together with these mothers of small babies and also younger children like toddlers, preschool age, just to get together and air out our frustrations, air out all of our questions that we might have, because there's just so many. And it just seems like it's so easy just to get on the phone and say, I have this problem, what about you? And the other mother saying, I got the same one, you know. And there's just so many things that we go through that I think that if we had an opportunity to get together outside of maybe a time like this, because there's a lot of mothers that aren't experiencing these things right now, and yet there are some that I think if we had, maybe we could even call it a mother support group for young children or something, I think we might really find a lot of encouragement and strength coming from that time. Jane, I have to say something about you. She's had her first baby. Amy's 14 months old. Jane, she more than anybody I've ever known has called me on the phone for umpteen kind of questions about Amy when she's a baby, and now Amy when she's a little older. I think it's wonderful though, because every time she asks me something, I always say, well, let's see, I need to wait until Micah gets there and then I can try to help you out again. But anyway, I know that there's a lot of questions, and I've even gone through, like I was telling you earlier, this has been one of the biggest adjustments for me, I think, this year, having this new baby. And so I'm going through a lot myself, but I just think, boy, if we could just get together and share some of our frustrations, share sources of encouragement that we've gained from past experiences and from other godly examples that we've seen, I know that it would really benefit us. So, but some of you consider wanting to do that. I know it's an extra thing to do, but maybe if it was just one Saturday a month, and not necessarily for breakfast or anything, maybe just coffee or something, would some of you be interested? How about those that raised your hands earlier? Okay, great, great. Well, I'll try to get back with you on that. I was thinking that if a lot of you were interested, we'd probably try to shoot for maybe the third or fourth Saturday of the month. I know the first Saturday now of every month during the mornings, they have care group leader meetings, and so we wouldn't want to hit that. And who knows now what else falls on other people's Saturdays. So it might just be a hit and miss time, but if we could at least designate like the third or fourth Sunday of each month, that we'll try to have this young mom support group.
Saturday?
Did I say Saturday? Yes. Oh, yeah, Saturday. Then we'll try to shoot for that and just have, a really good time together. And we'll probably come out with some kind of an announcement here real soon to let you know when the first one is. It'd be nice if maybe we could get started with one the end of January, possibly. So keep your ears open, and we might be able to shoot for that. And Mary will be there, too. She's in the same position.
And if you kind of advertise it through the bulletin on Sunday,
yeah,
there may be a lot of people that don't come to Partners for Life that have young people.
That's a good idea. Sure. That's right. I'm
there
really glad that you brought that up.
They aren't as committed, say, to come to Partners for Life, but that would really jump.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Definitely. Thanks for telling me. We'll do that. We'll get it in the bulletin. So maybe what we can do now for like 10 minutes or so is just try to exhaust your mind here and take time to just think of different things that you would like to see us cover during our time together separately from the husbands. You could write down particular topics that you'd be interested in. You could write down just particular questions that you just have concerning whatever, you know, whatever's on your mind. We're going to try to cover whatever we can during this time that we have together.
Do you have any suggestions as far as things you've done in the past for people that are new as far as...
Okay. Okay. For us women, we've gone from I know when I first moved up here, we were going over a book called Creative Counterpart, How to Be a Better Mate to Your Husband. And that's what we did those in little small groups with women, like our care groups, you know. And that was a wonderful time, something like that. But that just covered, well, it covered a lot in that particular book. And then we got together after that for once a month, having wives' breakfasts, and we covered, different topics like, well, I know I covered one called Endurance on the Home Front, being joyful and thankful, just different things that a mother experiences and goes through. One basic thing that I know that we covered, and it was kind of a series, and we met once a Saturday over at Denny's. We went through, we called it the Titus series, the book of Titus, Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, where it says, it talks about the women being lovers of their husband, being lovers of their children, being pure, let's see, what are they all, workers at home, which was a wonderful, wonderful one that Mary covered, because a lot of wives had concerns about what does it mean to be a worker home if I'm working outside the home. And she just did a wonderful job covering that. And the first one that we covered on loving your husbands, we spent specifically just on the intimacy part, sexually, and it was a lot of fun. Mary and I were real open, especially Mary covered that one, and oh, I tell you, boy, did we ever do a lot of giggling during that time. But it was because we were real open. It was extremely, extremely open. We had a lot of fun with that one. Yes, they're all on tape. You know, the last one was being subject to our husbands. It covered a lot of things, but like I say, it seems like a lot of those things were so good, but it's so easy sometimes just to forget some of those. And so anyway, we'd be glad to cover a lot of those, you know, what to do on loving our children, and you know, maybe the area of submission towards our husbands. I know Mary, if she'd be here tonight, she said that's one of the first things she would really like to talk about. So, I wish she was here. She, bless her heart. Oh, yeah. We had a wonderful time this weekend talking about failures. In fact, I think that's one encouragement you guys can all have looking down at us, is that we're not perfect examples or shining examples ourselves. I mean, we have the exact... When you think of struggles and think of major struggles in your mind that you might have, that seems like, boy, if they ever knew these struggles I had, boy, I don't know. We have the exact same ones, and I mean exact. I mean, we just absolutely couldn't believe some of the same struggles that we were going through. It's so encouraging, but it's just good to know that it's not so important that we're perfect people. We're these shining examples versus, you know, how do we bring ourselves out of this failure, and then what can we do to keep going, to learn how to pursue what's right, because that's what brings us the most joy anyway, when we just learn to pursue, carry on to do what's right. That's the only way we get the most joy out of life, but we sure learn a lot through our failures, for sure. And so anyway, I think that's one encouraging thing that you all can know about Mary and I, that we're failures, miserable failures too in some ways. So anyway, she's looking forward to sharing some things, and I am too. So anyway, keep that in mind. I'll just kind of let you go now for about 10 minutes. Attention here. I think we'll go ahead and kind of finish off tonight, as everybody, it seems like most everybody had time to write and then gab a little, hopefully. I just wanted to take the last few minutes, because we're going to try to close about 8:15. Earlier, when I had mentioned that Mary wanted to just kind of take the last few minutes to, by way of an example of something we'll be doing in the future, just kind of go over a little question now and answer it, to give you an example of what we'll be doing. And she wanted to address me with a question, which seems rather awkward, but I'm going to go ahead and read the question to you and address it with an answer. It's just a simple question. She wants to know how to make your children be people-oriented. In other words, how to make them be real friendly and outgoing towards other people. And she just wanted to ask me this because she said it's this one quality that she's noticed a lot in our children, and thought maybe it might be a good question for me, or a good way for me to address this question tonight. So anyway, that's a question. And first I just wanted to say that I think probably the biggest blessing for me in my life has just been my husband Mark, because he's just extremely well in this area of being outgoing and friendly and kind and putting others first, and he's just been a wonderful example in this area. And I know for me, growing up, I wasn't this way, and I didn't have a lot of this example in my own family life, and I really wasn't a real outgoing person. I was more shy and, I don't know if I want to call it a wallflower, but I was really shy and not too outgoing at all. And so I owe a lot of it to Mark, and just I think a lot of it has rubbed off on me. And I think too, maybe then the children have just picked up a lot of that themselves and have carried it on and have been examples in. But let's see, I think probably the main reason it comes though is basically from just the things that Mark shared last Sunday. And I don't know if you were all there, but boy, he just shared some really simple points about getting along with other people, and you know, just simple things like people are important, we need to treat them that way, do all that we can to please others and not just ourselves, to be givers and not just takers. Just real simple things, but those are the very things that I think make us be outgoing people, and also to instill in our very children just those real simple things. And I know that all of these have just really helped me to be more aggressive. The more I see the results of being outgoing with other people and putting them first and giving instead of just wanting to receive, that I've experienced so many benefits in my own life, that I think just children can pick that up as examples in our own lives and just have it rub off and emulate it themselves. But one thing that we've taught our children is, let me see. I think I might have forgot something here. I forgot what I was going to share. But one specific thing that we've taught our children when it comes to being greeters in our home, and I know you've all had greeters come to your door, and what do your children do when they come? And we've really, really worked on having them be greeters at the door to people, to anyone, any and everyone that comes. We always have our children, whenever they can, I mean, it's not always possible, but we try to have them come to the door and friendly greet the people that are there to make them feel welcome and just to feel at ease. And I think that really helps people feel comfortable knowing that the children came to greet them, that they're just not off doing their own thing and they don't even know how many children you have or what they're doing, but they were willing to come out and greet the people that came. And I think that just having them develop a habit of doing that has made them just almost naturally do it when people come. And like I say, it just really helps people feel at ease and just feel more welcomed in our home, knowing that not only do myself or my husband greet them, but our children do. And we ought to, because people are really the most important thing in our lives outside of our family. And so we need to really instill that in our children in the very beginning, that people are the most important thing. We've taught them too that really it's really offensive to ignore people, to, you know, rather than wanting to greet them, choosing to rather ignore them. I don't think maybe just at home, but you know, when we're in the public, like at church or other places, really anywhere, it's so easy sometimes for children just to simply ignore people that are right there looking at them, and maybe people that you'd really want them to get to know, but they just simply ignore them. It's almost as offensive as if, you know, you wouldn't want to see your child taking a rock and throwing it into somebody's glass window and breaking it. That's really offensive. We really feel and train our children that it's just as offensive to ignore people, to not really let them know they're there and that you care about them and you want to meet them and you want to make them feel important. And so that's one thing I think we've really tried to instill in our children, so they just really see that and it's become more of a habit in their lives. And then another thing that we've really worked on is having our children, you know, these very things that Mark was sharing on last Sunday about putting others first and making them feel important, that we've really tried to instill in them to do this with their own siblings, with one another at home, because it just seems like that's the best place to start. If your children aren't really habitually learning to put one another first at home, then how can you expect them to do it to other people in the public? It's just not naturally going to come as easily. But when they've really been doing it at home, it's more natural for them just to simply feel to be that way towards other people in the public. And so that's one thing that we've tried to do, is just have them instill that in the home with one another. But one concern that generally comes up, though, is what about children who are shy? What do you do about a child who's shy? Because a lot of children, particularly maybe when you're in a situation where there's other adults and then you have this little child, that they just seem to kind of cling to you or seem shy or just unaware of other people that are around, and you just want to, you know, maybe just always label it as, my children are shy, that's why they're not outgoing, which very well might be the case. But one thing that Mark and I have thought about is that we should remember, if we have a child that seems to tend towards that, not to think that it's always going to be a permanent trait. You know, shyness should never be a permanent trait for any of us. And I know for me, like, I was just shy a lot growing up, but I'm glad it's not a permanent trait for me now, or I don't know where I'd be. And you know, there's just so many blessings that come from being outgoing. It doesn't mean you have to be this flamboyant, charismatic type of person. Everybody will have unique ways, but everybody can learn to be outgoing. And that's why I think that we've been trying to instill this in our children in a younger age, so that they won't have all the struggles of learning it when they get older, and lose a lot of benefits too, and lose a lot of opportunities to affect people by making them feel important even when they're young. And so but some of the reasons for shyness that we thought about was just children really sometimes are fearful. They're just fearful to be around other people. Maybe they feel uncomfortable, and that's natural. They feel uncomfortable being in a room with a lot of other people. And, you know, they're easily intimidated. They get that feeling. Maybe they're just being selfish, though. There's some children that way. Maybe they're not really afraid, but maybe they're just selfish. They just don't want to be around other people and be outgoing and, I don't know, cheerful towards others. They just want to be selfish about it. Or maybe they just don't know how to relate to other people. Or maybe they just really haven't seen an example of how other people can be easily outgoing towards one another. And they really haven't seen an example, maybe with their parents, or they just haven't been around examples to see that. And so they have struggles with overcoming their shyness. But I think one thing just that we've tried to think about is, like I say, shyness shouldn't just be a habit of life and something that's going to be a permanent trait. Because I know even with our children, they're all different personalities. Celeste was probably one of our most outgoing children from the very beginning. And sometimes you don't even have to teach a child to be that way. They're just naturally going to be that way. And then Jeremy seemed like Jeremy was our next child, and he was a little of both. But now that after Jeremy, we had Jessica, and she was the hardest one for us to see her overcome her shyness, and she still is. And you know, it could be for different reasons. And I know you all might have children that have shyness to overcome for different reasons too. But we've worked with her. I mean, that's all you can do is work with them and help them to overcome and just continue to really instill these simple things that Mark shared on Sunday. I mean, people are so important, and it's so important just to share with our children that if people are important, we need to treat them that way. We need to put others first. We need to be givers. We need to you know, even learn to walk in other people's shoes so that you can help them feel comfortable around you, even if you know what's going on with them, struggles they're having. And even our children, I think, have met different people that they know that their struggles are going through, and they know they're hard struggles. I think probably because we get a more inside scoop sometimes, Mark being a pastor and getting intimately involved in people's lives. He doesn't always share all those intimate things with our children, but they pick up sometimes that people that come over have struggles, and yet they just accept them just as they are, and almost in a sense learn to walk in their shoes. And well, they've done that with other children too. So anyway, I think the main thing that we just need to do is help them to feel secure in our own love for them. That's really important, that they feel secure in our love for them. Also to instill looking out for others, even us looking out for our children's interest. If we do that enough, they're going to learn to do that for other people. And also too, just as parents, learning to treat our children as equals. I know they really respect us just getting down eye to eye and really treating them as equals, not just so much that we're over them and they have to always look up to us, but they're our equals and they have a lot of things that they could teach us, and they have, let me tell you, many things. But I think if they feel secure in that, that's even going to help them all the more overcome being insecure and being able to be more outgoing towards other people and learning to put others people's interests first, because we're doing it with our children. And if they see that, they'll learn to do it with one another in the family and also with others outside of the family. So anyway, this was just kind of an example that I wanted to take tonight to share, because a lot of us have children that could learn from this. So I just wanted to pass those thoughts on to you, and just remember those, and you can just instill them in your children. Keep doing what you're doing, and any child can learn to overcome this and be outgoing as the same as we. So anyway, that's about all I wanted to share. Unless somebody has any questions, feel free to ask. And then I'm just thinking of one more thing on the spot. Sometimes, maybe beforehand, we'll always try to let you know, I think, if we can, what we'll be talking on. Because if it is something in particular that maybe somebody here really can't relate to, or it's, you know, well, I shouldn't say that, but I'm thinking, like, you know, Barb, you don't have smaller children, so, I mean, I'm glad you're here. But if there's something else that evening that you'd rather spend your time with, and you knew that we might be covering something, then you'll know beforehand, and that's just fine, because we don't expect you to always show up and be committed. There's so many other commitments I know you need to make, but for sure there'll be a lot of things that we can cover that most of us can relate to, and that's why we're going to leave out basically dealing with younger children and babies, because there's a lot of women in the church that don't have younger children and babies, so why spend our time here talking about it when there's probably more things that we could probably visit that most of us could relate to. So anyway, yeah, Cindy.
Question in regard to that, if we have to choose to miss the time, sometimes, like, for instance, right now I'm asking a question.
Mm-hmm.
The questions sometimes don't come out on the tape, and you can't hear it later, and you feel like you missed out on some mm-hmm. nugget, and since you haven't heard the question. Is there any way we could overcome that for people who have to just
Well, well, one thing, yes, I'll do that. We'll do that. We'll always remember to repeat the question. Yeah.
Just friend Mark did that, too. Yeah. I feel the same way. We get a lot of the tapes, and a lot of times I'm sitting there going, yeah, well, I don't know. I can't figure out what they're talking about because they didn't hear the question.
I'll for sure tell them. We'll try to never have this happen again. You remind us to repeat it, too. That will help.
Yeah. What was the question?
Oh, yeah. Does anybody else have anything they have questions about or anything before we end? Guess not. Oh, I know one thing you can do. Those of you that know of others that weren't here tonight, please try your hardest to pass on to them this information so that they know about it. And also, too, let them know that the tape there's a tape available tonight of that. I mean, well. Okay, why don't we just take a few minutes to close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you so much for this time tonight. I thank you for each one that showed up. And Lord, we do just want to ask you for wisdom and guidance in these weeks to come as we spend this time separately alone as wives. We pray, Lord, that you would really help us to know what areas to cover, what areas would be the best to help meet the needs of our hearts, Lord. We just want to look to you and make this time be count the most for each one of us here. And so we just pray that you would lead us and guide us and help us to know what would be the best to share. And tonight I just thank you for the time we had here. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.